Octonauts, to your stations.
Barnacle! Wazzy! Mesa!
You're listening to Noah and the Octonauts, an episode-by-episode discussion of the children's TV show The Octonauts, which features a crew of quirky and courageous undersea adventurers. Their mission? To explore the world's ocean, rescue the creatures who live there, and protect their habitats.
Explore! Rescue!
Protect!
Our monthly podcast will bring together experts from inside and outside of NOAA to help you and the children you care about learn more about the real-life versions of the Octonaut sea creatures and the ocean they call home. This podcast is produced by NOAA's Office of Education and the Coastal Ecosystem Learning Center Network. Today, I'm your host, Maggie Allen. Today, we're talking about Episode 2, The Octonauts and the Undersea Storm. When Quasi's gut bee breaks down in a storm, not even brave Captain Barnacles can save him alone. Fortunately, a chain of reef lobsters are there to lend a hand and some claws.
If it weren't for this little lobster's big grip, yow!
We wouldn't have made it back.
Before we begin our chat, let's set the stage for today's deep dive. The episode starts when the Octonauts identify a big storm in the sea. According to Jennifer Moore, who works for NOAA Fisheries in Florida, major storms can cause severe damage to shallow water coral reefs. For example, strong waves from hurricanes Irma and Maria dislodged and destroyed thousands of corals. After these storms, NOAA assessed the damage and reattached broken corals back to the reef so they can continue to grow and thrive. This episode also features lobsters, and these guys are built to be tough. Like their other crustacean relatives, they have a hard outer shell, or exoskeleton, that protects them from hungry predators. They also protect themselves by living in narrow openings on the seafloor. When hiding doesn't work, they can use their muscular tail to scoot away from danger. The lobsters we saw on the Octonauts show this week were most likely reef lobsters. These creatures live in shallow coral reefs and are small, nocturnal, and colorful, with one pair of claws on their front legs. But the lobster you would find at the Florida Aquarium don't have claws at all. These spiny lobsters are decapods, which means that they have 10 legs, and they range in color from white to red-orange.
While it's hard to know exactly how many Caribbean spiny lobsters are out there, disease, climate change, and overfishing do pose threats. The Florida Aquarium, which is located on the Gulf of Mexico, is working to better understand these lobsters and their habitats.
Our guests today are Eric Hovland and Debbie Stone of the Florida Aquarium. Eric, the Florida Aquarium's associate curator, is an all-around shark guy who helped start up the aquarium nearly 25 years ago and who has been helping Florida wildlife ever since. And as the aquarium's vice president of education, Debbie Stone oversees education programs for the littlest pre-K future scientists to active retirees who haven't lost their love of learning and who want to make a positive difference for our one ocean. Thank you, Eric and Debbie, for joining us today.
Great, our pleasure.
Oh, it's looking forward to a great conversation.
All right, let's start off with asking a really important question. Which Octonaut's job would you say is most like yours?
I personally would say I'm probably the most like Barnacles, but my favorite Octonaut is the tunip. I love the Vegemals so much. I'm not quite sure why. I think they're just these amazing little cheerleaders that support all the people around them. And I think cheerleading is an important thing for all of us and everybody we work with. But I'd have to say, technically, probably more like Barnacles.
You know, Quasi, as far as I related to him right from the beginning, he's an explorer, an adventurer. You know, he's into the what, where, what's down there in cryptozoology. So I can really relate to that sense of adventure. Plus, I have an orange cat named after a Norwegian pirate, so it was kind of spot on for me. He's quite the adventurer.
Well, that's awesome. All right, so diving into the episode, we have some questions for you to clear things up. And we want to know if undersea storms are really dangerous for lobsters and other coral reef critters. And would animals actually need help during these storms?
Well, I think, yeah, sure. These storms, they're really they generate a lot of agitation near the surface, and then that can have surge effects, especially on these shallow coastal reefs where we find the home for lobsters and all kinds of other sea creatures. You know, that reef is their home, like literally their house. So finding shelter under a ledge, well, that's probably fine during, you know, normal wave action, tidal action. But when it really gets churning, you can feel that effect. And as a diver, I've been underwater during when storms are starting to roll up, and you can feel that 10, 20, 30 feet down, 10 meters down. So it's probably good for the lobsters themselves to start moving to deeper water. And if you can't move fast like a shark or a large fish, then you've got to hunker down and find some safety. Yeah, and as far as, you know, what we can do to, I think, to protect them is kind of bigger picture in continuing to protect our oceans.
Absolutely. Was saying. Yeah. What I loved the most about this episode was that no matter what critter we were looking at, they all had their own adaptation for responding to what was going on around them,
exactly.
Whether it was going to deeper water or hunkering down. And I think the one great thing about a one ocean is all of its inhabitants have these amazing adaptations, things that they do innately or that they've learned to do to protect themselves. And sometimes the best thing we can do is to kind of leave them alone and let nature do what nature does the best.
That's true.
But I do think the episode touched on several things that ocean animals innately know to do when they're facing any kind of danger, whether it be a storm or a predator or whatever may actually happen.
Yep, they really teamed up, those lobsters. It's like, follow me, we're going to safety together. Because if you get split up, then, you know, there's no future for you.
Right,
and it did seem like the octonauts needed more help than the lobsters themselves, and they really
got themselves in a little trouble, that's for sure.
Right. You know, if you were in that situation yourself, could lobsters really fix a tow line and have that strong of a grip?
Oh, I wish they could be that helpful. You know, you touched on something that's important. They have a really strong grip. And the lobsters we're looking at, they have two chelae or claws. Well, what's interesting to note is that those claws are not the same. One of them's really good for crushing. So that one's got quite a solid grip, but the other one's a little bit more of a slicer. So that might not help grabbing that line. Now, if they had two big crushers, maybe so, but yeah, I'd say get a stronger rope next time, guys.
Yeah, definitely. So why would you say lobsters are important to both ecosystems and to humans?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, speaking to the coral reef ecosystem, you know, we often hear of food chains. It's really a food web. All these animals are interacting on this reef, and this reef is this home that's, you know, it's so resplendent with life, and it's so important to our environment too. Just the fact that reefs produce, you know, somewhere right around half of the oxygen that we breathe come from healthy coral reef systems and healthy oceans. So that's a really important need to people, because I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of oxygen. I love breathing. I do it every day. So now the rest of that is also this ecosystem. Lobsters are kind of right in the middle of it. They eat small sea creatures like maybe shellfish, like mollusks, like clams and mussels and oysters. They can grip them and crunch them up with their mouth parts. And then also they're a food source for animals like Goliath grouper, like octopuses and eels. So having that balance of just kind of the right amounts of everybody ensures that everybody's got a home to live in and enough food to eat, enough prey to hunt if they're a predator. And if we remove lobsters from that, well, you're kind of pulling out some of the balance. And then suddenly, you know, the octopuses, what are they going to eat? And,
right.
And then there's more mollusks than you need. And they help maintain a healthy reef, too. And I think, Debbie, you can certainly speak to some of the ways that lobsters are really important to us as a resource as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does come down to balance, as you mentioned. A lot of times we've seen over time, if one specific species or type of animal starts to disappear from an ecosystem, there are all kinds of unintended consequences for the other animals that you might not even have expected. So sometimes I worry about the things we don't know, frankly.
Precisely, yeah.
We know a lot about how they're important, but if they were to suddenly start to disappear, we'd probably start to see some really weird predator prey things happening in other parts of the food web that we just didn't expect or anticipate. Because you bring up the octopus, you know, what are they going to eat? Now they're going to probably start preying on something else more regularly. Mm-hmm. And that particular species may not have the ability to bounce back as rapidly as it would right now when it's only one piece of the puzzle. So I think it's really important that anytime you're looking at any ecosystem, whether it's a reef system or mangroves or whatever it might be, that you realize each one of those animals in that ecosystem and plants for that matter have a role, have a function, and it's critical to the healthy well-being of the entire ecosystem, even if we can't readily tell exactly what it might be.
Yeah, definitely. It is all about that balance. And what do you all do at the aquarium to help conserve these lobsters and their habitat?
So I think for me, I thought about lobsters in particular, and I keep coming back to the one ocean concept of protect the home and protect the animals. Everything that we do, we're looking at the big picture of the healthy habitat. If we really want to help lobsters or Goliath grouper or octopuses or whatever it may be, protecting where they live is the most important thing. On a specific level, like lobsters, for example, the work that Eric and the folks that he works with on a regular basis, that's really important because it's contributing to the scientific knowledge of these animals. Anytime we're working with animals that we have here at the Florida Aquarium, we're participating in research, we're participating in conservation and understanding the needs of these animals so that we can better protect them in the wild, because that's ultimately what's going to help keep our one ocean healthy, is protecting where the animals live. So that's always my message to people. If you have an animal that you love, whether it's a dolphin or a manatee or a lobster or a grouper or my favorite, yellowhead jawfish, the best thing you can do is keep the ecosystems healthy, keep the habitats healthy, and then you're going to do a really good job protecting the species that you love so much.
Yeah, that's a really great message. So what can all of us, you know, our listeners, people at home, do in our day-to-day lives to help make sure that those animals we love and those ecosystems are around for future generations? You know, what can we do to protect them?
When you think about the three R's, reduce, reuse, recycle, it blew my mind the first time it was pointed out to me that that's actually in that order for a reason.
Yes.
That really the most important thing that we as humans can do to protect the one ocean and protect the environment is to reduce what we need to begin with, because everything takes energy to produce and make, and then we've got extra waste and so forth. So if you absolutely must have something, try to reuse it. So if you can't reduce, then at least reuse what you've done. And if Sure. you can't reuse it, then at least try to recycle. So I think that's the most important thing, is to think about the behaviors that we employ every day. Do we really need that? If not, maybe skip it. And if we really do, think about other things that we can do. Reducing our plastic usage is really important, because a lot of that's ending up in our one ocean. But more than anything, just trying to be conscious of how much energy we're using for the products that we buy and all that kind of stuff. Of course, we need things to survive, but really being intentional about being as earth friendly as possible is by far the biggest thing we can do. We can't do it all. Just pick and choose the things that you think you can do to reduce your energy, and you're already a step ahead.
That's absolutely true. And there's some great tools out there to help you too. You know, the same kind of things that you might do to improve your health a little bit with an app on your phone, like take a walk or take a bike ride. If you make that your choice to get to work, even like once a week, start it once a month. You're on the right track. And then if you inspire your friends by telling them those good stories and how it made you feel better and you had a great ride home, then you're making, again, even more mindful impact than just your choice. You're affecting and growing others too.
Very true. Well, thank you so much, Debbie and Eric. We really appreciate your time and help on our show and spreading the word and love of lobsters.
Great. It's a lobster love fest.
It is.
That's the Opto Alert. It's time to reveal the answer and winner of last month's fan trivia question. So the question was, what is the new gadget that Tweak puts on Quasi's Gut B? The answer? A turbo button. So the randomly selected winner is Jillian N. Congrats, Jillian. You won an Octonauts toy set. And for those of you who didn't win this month, don't worry. We'll have a new fan trivia question on our website and social media soon. And until then, we want to hear your questions. What would you want to ask an expert about lobsters or undersea storms? We'll make sure to pass these questions along to our NOAA scientists or aquarium educators and post their answers on our social media sites.
Well, that's it for today's show. To learn more about lobsters and other marine critters at the Florida Aquarium, check out their website at flaquarium.org. NOAA Fisheries also has many facts about the Caribbean spiny lobster. Just use their search bar at fisheries.noaa.gov. And lastly, head down to the beautiful Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary to see many lobsters hiding in the coral.
I'm Maggie Allen, and this has been NOAA and the Octonauts. We'll see you next month.
Quasi, activate creature report.
Creature report. Creature report.
Creature report.
Facts. Reef lobsters live on the ground.
Check, check, check.
They don't swim, they crawl around.
Check, check.
They're kind of small, can't call them long. They're not big, but their claws are strong. They don't get scared in bad weather. They head down deep and always stick together.
Dance break!
Go lobsters! Reef lobsters! Reef lobsters!
Creature report! Creature report!
Creature report!
We're done with our mission.
Octonauts at ease
until the next adventure.